First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Hey everyone, I'm a regular guest host on the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome back, everyone, for the second hour of the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And just as a reminder of Alan's motto, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. Well, we are pleased to have with us president of the Capital Research Center. He served in the George W. Bush administration as special assistant to the president for domestic policy and was vice president for publications and research at the Philanthropy Roundtable. His latest book is author of Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. Man, that is a hot and important topic. Scott Walter joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show.
Great to be with you.
Good to have you along. So it seems like this is all coming to a head, or at least it seems to me. We've got $100 million in stolen aid to fire victims in LA. We have billions in fraud and abuse at USAID and NGOs that just keep on claiming that they're more compassionate than everyone else while stealing from everybody else. Is it finally time to stop this gravy train here?
I certainly think so. The taxpayer, you know, would be horrified to discover where his tax dollars are going.
Yeah. Give us a couple of examples, because you can never give examples enough. It is too hard for people to wrap their brain around the fact that there are that many dishonest people in Washington. Not for you and me, but a lot of people have that trouble because they just don't want to believe that there's that much evil graft and corruption going on. It's horrific.
Well, one example that's easy is the Solidarity Center. This is an NGO, but actually it's a wholly owned subsidiary, really, of the AFL-CIO, which is already one of the most powerful political players in Washington. And the head of the AFL-CIO is the chairman of the board of this center, and the center receives almost 100% of its money from the taxpayer. So from the department, mostly from Department of Labor. And by the way, it must be a total coincidence. You know, in my line of work, I find so many coincidences like this. But the massive increase in money going to the center under the Biden administration happened after three leaders at the NGO went to work in the Biden administration.
Yeah.
Coincidences? Amazing. But I'll give you another quickie would be, because this is tiny, but it's a classic example of how this works and how nobody knows the full extent of it. You know, there's no one on the planet does because it's so messy. So
yeah.
The Centers for Disease Control, which did not cover themselves in glory in the COVID crisis, of course. But anyway,
hardly. Yes.
They give out grants about AIDS education. Well, that doesn't seem completely crazy. And so they gave a grant, for instance, to the Philadelphia School District But then the Philadelphia School District immediately used it to hire an NGO, the local Planned Parenthood, who then were going to teach gender ideology to little kids, which, you know, most parents probably don't think that's a great idea.
Well,
but
and
there's your tax dollars at work.
Yes. And it isn't even, it's even worse than that. If you start questioning what the benefit is for them to confuse and create gender dysphoria in a whole generation of children. But that is another arm of the octopus, isn't it?
Well, it is. And with the irony, right, that, I mean, I was sitting at an outdoor cafe in D.C. where there are, lots of homosexually inclined folks, which is fine. One of them stopped because he saw on the table a book by somebody critical of the transgender extreme ideology, and was a gay guy who had started a group for gays to resist that kind of ideology, right? So that same guy, even though he probably doesn't have a kid in Philadelphia, would be just as upset about his tax dollars going that way in Philadelphia, right?
Right, right. Well, and there are large groups of, well, I don't know how large they are, of gay people that are against grooming of children. And they have been quite open about that. And they got treated the same way as Republicans get treated when they put their foot down and say, you know what, that's a line in which I'm not willing to cross. And you start corrupting little children and using them for your political agenda. I'm going to put my foot down. So,
yeah, you also have another funny thing like that was a group that had always been considered a pretty radical lesbian group came and gave talks at the Heritage Foundation, which is one of the pillars of conservatism in D.C., because their view was you're forcing men, what is actually men, into our women-only spaces. We want to be able to maintain women-only spaces.
Yeah.
Right?
Isn't that
fascinating? And, of course, now you have like 80% of Americans take that view about sports, right? It's an overwhelming – is why in one of my recent congressional testimonies on all this, I call it democracy suppression, right?
Yes.
80% of Americans don't want boys in girls' sports, and yet your tax dollars are forced out of you to support it.
Right. And there's another thing, and that is there's a double-edged sword to the evil people that are trying to change ideologies by force, using our own money against us to change attitudes. And that is, even if they don't change it, they get a secondary gain, which is to create chaos. And we learned that that was one of the things Russia wanted to do in just creating chaos in a country that they oppose. It wasn't due to Trump. There's a whole thing, Russian collusion. It wasn't Russian. It wasn't collusion in that story, but it was everyone else trying to create. And Russia did have an interest in creating chaos. And that is an easy route to even more communism when there is unrest. And then you come down like a ton of bricks on the country because, you have to keep order. There seems to be a method to the madness or a madness to the method here, but to be hung with our own money is particularly insulting. Tough question. How do we unravel this mess? You know, the mob, they knew how to take care of people who were skimming off the top. If you're a mob buff like I am, you know, Bugsy and the rest, what do you do about a government that's skimming and corrupting and robbing the taxpayers?
Well, you're right. That is a very tough question. But I would say that what you have to do is you know, Americans have to demand that the administration and Congress, because they're both needed, find out all these things, right? It takes a while to trace them, but you have to, that's their job. They should be tracing this, and then they should be shutting it down permanently. You know, if you're a nonprofit that's getting money, I want you doing, biblically good works, clothing the naked and feeding the hungry. I don't want you getting involved in my family's children, in politics, in regime change abroad or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know that it's the government's role to do good works in that way, because it takes the onus off the religious organizations whose job it always was. And now you've got the exact corruption opposite, for example, which is that the government was using our tax dollars to pay Catholic organizations to take in large numbers of illegal aliens. Whenever the government is in the altruism business, you know that you're going to have corruption. Don't you think it's time, or do you think it's time to cut back on that and hand it back to religious organizations and other philanthropic private groups, rather than governments who have such a vested interest in siphoning money?
No. Well, you are totally right that the ideal is real civil society of charitable groups, religious groups, actually helping people. That's absolutely much better.
Sorry that we have to end it there. Tell everybody how they can find you, Scott Walter, and learn more about this amazing, massive subject.
Sure. CapitalResearchCenter.org.
That was easy, Scott Walter. Thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck to you. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hear about the truckers. You want to hear about truckers, don't you? Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
On November 13th, 2022, four University of Idaho students were brutally murdered in the quiet college town of Moscow, Idaho. Within the devastated community, questions and fear abound. A new documentary series on Prime Video, One Night in Idaho, The College Murders, investigates this shocking event to uncover the truth. The twists and turns of what happened after the murders, an explosion of online digging, a cross-country manhunt, a dramatic arrest, and a looming trial made this one of the most talked-about stories in recent memory. This was a case that captured the country's attention and fed its paranoia. It was one of the highest-profile stories of the last decade, and it created a lot of social media sleuths who tried to find answers. One Night in Idaho, The College Murders delivers enlightening details from those involved in and affected by the crimes and explores the continued impact and fallout. One Night in Idaho, The College Murders premieres July 11th only on Prime Video.
It's time to hang up that wreath and decorate the tree. Christmas time is here. At least it is on Hallmark Channel as the network begins its annual Christmas in July programming event. July 7th marks the premiere of Christmas at Sea, a new docuseries that follows passionate superfans aboard Hallmark's inaugural Christmas cruise from Miami to Nassau. Hallmark star Ben Ayers.
Hallmark Channel has an amazing fan base, and Christmas at Sea captures the joy, connection, and community that defined the Hallmark fan experience. I had such a blast being on the ship, meeting the fans, and hearing their stories.
Sarah Drew.
Christmas at Sea captures the unforgettable moments we witnessed firsthand. From a surprise wedding to a girl's trip with lifelong friends, it's just a fun way to celebrate the magic of Hallmark and the fans who make it so special.
Don't miss Christmas at Sea, July 7th on Hallmark Channel, and tune in all month long for exclusive countdown to Christmas sneak peeks, fan-voted movies, and much more.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And as we wait for our guest, I want to talk about, I did mention that we're going to talk about truckers. It's interesting how much truckers keep figuring into politics. Yes, we have our guest here, and I'll ask him that question directly. Co-owner and vice president of JKC Trucking, the largest refrigerated trucking company based out of Chicago, Mike Kucharski joins us right now. Hi, Mike. Good to have you along.
Hello. Thank you for having me on your show again.
Good to have you. So as I was mentioning, it's interesting how much truckers figure into politics, because you are the line to the supply chain. And people learned during COVID, and in Canada, just how much truckers matter, not only in the supply chain, but in general, when bad actors want to corrupt the process and make it difficult for free markets to continue. I'm glad to see that truckers' stock went up. It's too bad it took things like that to do so. You are celebrating, I think, Trump's reversing of an Obama-era trucking speed limit plan. Give us some of the details of that and why that's so important.
Yeah, so what happened is the Trump administration officially withdrew a 2016 Obama-era proposal from the Department of Transportation and Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration that would have mandated speed limiting devices or governors on all commercial vehicles weighing over 26,000 pounds. The proposed limits were considered, I think, 60, 65, and 68, with the goal to reduce crash severity and saving estimate of 63 lives per year. And how's this? I support, you know, truck safety and road safety, but at what cost? The question is, and is it enough to, you know, put these limits on all these trucks to, you know, save only 63 lives per year? And the answer is yes, but there's other options out there that we can save a lot more lives.
And what kind of options are those?
No, so it's a great question. So everybody's saying, hey, look, you know, these trucks are going too fast, right? But one of the biggest issues I have in my trucking company, we have forward-facing cameras, right? And our trucks, on average, get cut off by the motoring public at least 40-plus times a day.
Yes.
And that is a huge red flag. So how's this? You know, everybody's saying, well, the truckers hit the cars. But nobody's talking about how these cars cut off the truckers. You know what I mean? Let's fix the problem, the bigger issue, and we need to, you know, the issues are like this. People are on their cell phone. They're holding their cell phone. They're texting. They're watching videos, etc. They are distracted. They're driving and doing something else or have the phone in background. And that is one of the bigger problems, I would say. I think if we tackled that issue, I mean, we would save hundreds and thousands of people, not 63.
Let me also add, because I have Mike, you know that I'm married to a trucker who trains CDL drivers, and only through osmosis have I developed an appreciation for everything that goes into trucking today. He used to be a fuel hauler, so he was at the top of the food chain. And when he volunteered for things to help educate the public, among the things he mentioned and would talk about is that you got to give truckers room. A lot of people miss, they don't understand the ability of a trucker to be able to see you, number one. And they're trying to get ahead of you because they figure he is driving slow, not fast. So they're going to try and get in front of him. So the miscalculation of distance and not being able to give the trucker room because there are blind spots is, I think, one of the reasons that there are as many truck accidents as there are. What do you say about that?
No, first, I want to thank your husband for training future drivers. That's very key. He's a very essential worker.
Sure.
and thank you for all his work. But no, you're right. You know, what we don't teach enough in driving school is how big these trucks are. You know, we have blind spots. Mm-hmm. We also are hauling very heavy stuff. You know, some trucks could take up to 80,000 pounds gross in weight. And we cannot stop like a car. You know, everybody assumes that, you know, look, trucks could do the same thing as cars. No, we can't. And we need, like you said, we need more distance to stop. We have more. And when we are braking, we have the load. We're pulling a load. So when we're braking, that load is pushing on us. So that's even worse. You know, we have all this mass on us. And the motor public has to understand, look, truckers can't go as fast because, you know, we can't speed up as fast because we're pulling something, and we can't slow down as fast because we
are
because of the weight. And this is the biggest issue. If the public would understand this or taking some kind of consideration other than, you know, being, you know, upset at the truck driver that he's blocking them, this would be huge, because this is where all these accidents happen. You know, my trucks, most of the accidents are because they're cut off or a car is not paying attention, doing a U-turn, etc. That's why we hit them. Are there fender benders? Yes. You know, accidents do happen, but this distracted driving and not, you know, thinking about what the truck driver needs is a huge, huge issue. And I think that should be tackled, number one, other than speed limiters, because they could put these speed limiters in, and I don't think it's going to put a dent.
Yeah, you know what, Mike, and pardon me for attributing not so great intentions. We just got through doing a whole segment about the graft and the grift of places like USAID, who rob our money from us and then tell us it's for everybody's own good because they're more altruistic and they're more caring than anyone else. Meanwhile, they're robbing people and putting it in their pocket. I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying this is the corruption in USAID and the $100 million that was robbed from people, the fire victims in LA. You might ask, why would I make that connection? Because the idea that we can do anything we want to commerce because we want to save 62 people a year who are, you know, and government changes that drastic while opening our borders, 20 million people, and we don't care how many victims that we cause to people who are unvetted, it kind of makes you wonder the sincerity of the altruism that they claim to be having. That's my point.
No, you're correct. You hit the nail right on the head. And what happened in 2016, a bunch of other laws came out on top of this speed limiter. One of the what came out was the ELD mandate, the implementation of electronic logbooks, which I support, right? But what happened is since then they've made the rules much more rigid, and they said it was supposed to project to save 26 lives annually by reducing fatigued related crashes among commercial drivers and bus drivers. What it did is the complete opposite. I think the crashes are up like 15,000.
So often it's true. The more government intervention, the more it causes the opposite problem it claims to fix. How do people find you, Mike Kucharski, so they can learn more about what you're into other than your trucking company, JKC Trucking?
Yeah, they can find us at jkctrucking.com.
Well, that was quick. Boy, you have gotten great at this. You've gone from your trucker, but you know how to do talk radio. Thank you so much, Mike, for your time. Always a pleasure. We'll be right back after this.
It's not the glamorous part of world travel, but picking up a preventable virus instead of an exotic souvenir is a guaranteed way to ruin a trip. Whether planning a family vacation, mapping out a solo adventure, or traveling for work this summer, the CDC is urging travelers to think beyond the suitcase when it comes to preparing for a trip abroad. Dr. Amy Lynn Safady gives us some tips for overseas travel.
The CDC recommends consulting with a healthcare provider at least 4 to 6 weeks ahead of your trip to allow time to prepare. Depending on where you're traveling, there may be vaccines you should consider or be required to receive. CVS Pharmacy has many necessary vaccines, such as Tdap, hepatitis B, typhoid, cholera, Japanese encephalitis, and more. Availability varies by state. Also, be sure you're up to date on your prescriptions and have an ample supply on hand to last the duration of your trip, plus extra just in case of travel delays.
You can make appointments for yourself and your family by visiting CVS.com or with the CVS Health app. Summer has arrived, presenting great job opportunities within the travel industry. Pilot, the largest network of travel centers with nearly 900 locations across 44 states, is hiring 7,500 team members. With weekly pay, training, support, and competitive benefits, Pilot is committed to supporting its team and helping them make the most of their miles. Abby Bilbrey, field recruiter at Pilot, shares insights on the company's commitment to hiring as summer travelers hit the open road.
Pilot is hiring 7,500 team members called Journey Makers across our travel centers, on-site restaurants, and tanker fleet. We seek driven, reliable, authentic, and welcoming individuals to ensure our guests are fueled up, filled up, and lifted up for the road ahead. Join us to be part of a company that continues to show people they matter at every turn.
To learn more or to apply to become a journey maker, visit jobs.pilotflyingj.com/national hiring.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. We are pleased to have with us Israeli-born founder and president of the New York-based American Center for Democracy and the Economic Warfare Institute. She's also author of The Soros Agenda. Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld joins us right now on The Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Dr. Ehrenfeld. Good to have you along.
Hi. Nice to be with you.
So you are based in New York, are you?
Yes.
Well, I guess we have to cut to the chase, actually. The topic here is whether Israel has lost the PR war. And I guess for New York City to choose a guy like Kami Mamdani, that's what we're calling him, Kami Mamdani, as their Democrat candidate for mayor of New York City, one could make the case that indeed Israel has lost the PR war because he's an open, out-of-the-closet Jew hater. What do you say?
Well, yeah, he is, absolutely. And unfortunately, Israel had lost the PR campaign, not only, well, Mamdani has not been elected yet, so there is still hope that New Yorkers will actually come to their senses and go out and vote him and vote against him.
Yeah, for who? Yeah, okay, but go ahead. I want to hear the rest of that.
But,
yes.
But I don't know. Israel hasn't done, as far as I know, any kind of a PR campaign against him. It's a local domestic issue.
Doesn't matter. He's openly anti.
He's an anti-Semite.
Yes, he is.
He's anti-American too, and he promises to arrest Netanyahu, the prime minister, if he gets here.
Yeah. So do you think Israel has lost the PR war? In pockets, it appears to have been, but what is your diagnosis? What's your assessment as to how that happened and what, I hate to ask, what can you do about it?
Well, there were many Israel haters and anti-Semites in the United States before. pardon me. With the October 7 Hamas attack on Israel, butchering, murdering, burning, you name it, more than 1,200 people in a couple of hours and taking 251 hostages to Gaza, which they still hold some 50, they actually managed to turn what they have, the atrocities that they have done, they have managed to turn things around and claim that Israel attacked them. That is, well, it's complete.
Yeah, that was the plan October 8th, I have read. October 8th, the day after it happened, there were people in this country already prepared to flip the narrative and make Israel the bad guy. Talk about blaming the victim, right?
Yeah. Even on the day, actually, it happened even before the next day. I mean, it happened already on October 7 after the attacks. While actually there were some Hamas terrorists who were still not caught, who were still in the Israeli kibbutzim and places where they killed all these people. But that change had been funded by Qatar and by the Soros Foundation, the Rockefeller Brothers, by all kinds of organizations that apparently have been ready for it. They apparently, the Israeli government, the Israeli IDF, the security forces, and the army didn't know about the coming attack, but apparently this organization did because they were ready for it. They were ready to fund demonstrations on the streets on October 8th. How did they know?
Yeah. And you wrote a book on Soros And yep. Soros funded a great deal of the open, unfettered immigration, both into Europe, which is now turning to numbers and the kind of Jew hatred that could be seen in pre-Nazi Germany. Yeah, and now they wanted to send it here. So sending
here.
Terrorists to America, it was not just about voting. It was about more, wasn't it?
Well, it was, and Soros said from the beginning, and he started this in 1995, 1996. He has been at it for a long time, and he said that, you know, countries don't need borders. You know, what is sovereignty? You don't need sovereignty on anything.
Yeah, and that wasn't his real agenda, though, was it? It wasn't.
Well, his agenda was to, he didn't like the United States, he didn't like capitalism that made him very rich, he didn't like America as the superpower, so he started with efforts to legalize drugs and to open the borders. And then painting this whole thing with as criminal justice. Everything was for criminal justice. And the rest followed. We all know about the racist and the DEI and the racial divide. There is a group for any justice, anything you can think
except
of.
Except Jews and Americans and Christians and white people.
Well,
they don't
like
get
them
justice.
Very much, but he doesn't like also the state, the Jewish state of Israel.
Of
he said that the Jews don't need a state of their own, you know?
All right, of course.
So
let me ask you, with so little time left, and we got to just at least say, with all the study and the book that you wrote, and you see all this, and it is so disturbing and frightening, actually, to see the same mistakes repeated again and again. What do you think needs to happen that's not happening order to turn this around?
I think that President Trump has actually to be better informed about this and about the not only the communist, radical left, neo-Marxist ideologies, but also the combination of those with anti-Semitism, because as you took Mamdani as an example, Mamdani is also a Shiite Muslim, and nothing that he says is believable. So if he tries to say, well, no, what I said in a Twitter 2 years ago, you know, from the river to the sea, or 2 months ago, or 2 days ago, no, I didn't mean it, you know.
Yeah, and there's a lot of gullible Jews who are saying, well, I want to see what he has to say about this, as if anything he says is believable.
Unfortunately, this is the case. And Americans, by and large, are naive, but our leadership shouldn't be. And there should be some. Look, if we want to enjoy our First Amendment and our free speech, we have to be able to live before that. We have to be able to survive. So in order to survive, there are some changes must be made, some legal changes must be made, so that people like Mamdani, like Ilhan Omar, like Osi, should be unable and should be sanctioned for incitement.
Yeah, well, I think we could have some disagreements about what Trump is doing. He's doing more than I've ever seen an American president do under more duress and greater severity of circumstances. He is going after, and he did speak out against Mamdani, but you have these egos. It's a shame to have to depend on, we said this, Democrats to rein in their own communists when many of them are closet communists and Jew haters to begin with. Not all of them, but to depend on the Democrats to do this, I don't know.
Well, the old Ku Klux Klan, there is a lot of money from Qatar has been invested here with the Democrats and with propaganda, as well as, mind you, Iran. and Turkey. They are involved in really promoting, and China. They are promoting America hate and Jew hate because it's the same.
Let me ask you real quickly. Well, I guess I have to leave it there because it's not fair to ask you to answer that question with no time left. How do people find you at the American Center for Democracy and the Economic Warfare Institute? Dr. Ehrenfeld? Okay. Look her up. We lost her. Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, Ehrenfeld. We have her on from time to time. We're going to take a break. We'll have one more guest to wrap up the hour. Don't go away.
A critically acclaimed docuseries returns to Prime Video with a compelling and powerful new chapter. Shiny Happy People, A Teenage Holy War, reveals teenagers being exploited, manipulated, and converted into soldiers to make America a Christian nation at any cost. The three-part series focuses on the controversial organization Teen Mania, once America's largest youth ministry, which attracted millions through their wildly popular stadium shows. Teens filled colossal stadiums, sang religious rock anthems, swore purity oaths, and embarked on culturally questionable global missions. But beneath the wholesome illusion lies a darker undercurrent, brutal spiritual boot camps, and relentless psychological control, all under the command of a charismatic leader with endless ambitions. The previous installment of Shiny Happy People, which unveiled the truth behind the Duggar family, was the number one most viewed documentary series on Prime Video. Don't miss Shiny Happy People, A Teenage Holy War, now streaming on Prime Video.
With summer in full swing, a new survey is making waves and raising eyebrows about what really happens in America's swimming pools. The 2025 Healthy Pool Survey finds nearly half of swimmers admit to regularly rinsing their dirty feet or sandals in the pool, turning it into a communal foot bath. Three-time Olympic gold medalist and swimming safety advocate Rowdy Gaines urges swimmers to think twice.
This isn't just gross, it's dangerous. Chlorine is meant to kill germs, but it can't do that as effectively when it's overloaded with, say, dirt, sand, and other contaminants.
In response, the American Chemistry Council and Pool and Hot Tub Alliance are raising awareness of how swimmer habits directly affect water quality.
Everyone plays a role in pool safety. You may be tempted to dip your feet or flip-flops in the water, but find that nearest shower and rinse off there instead. That small step can make a big difference in keeping pools safe and healthy.
Learn more at healthypools.org.
According to the U.S. Army, nearly 50% of military recruits come from rural areas, despite less than 20% of the U.S. population living in those communities. This strong representation highlights the deep tradition of service rooted in rural America, a connection that one company is uniquely positioned to celebrate. Marty Scold Jordan, executive director of the Tractor Supply Foundation, explains about her company's Hometown Heroes program to honor and help.
Tractor Supply knows our active military, veterans, and first responders pay an incredible price for protecting us and keeping us safe. These are our everyday hometown heroes who have answered the call. And so the Tractor Supply Foundation is awarding $100,000 grants to 10 organizations that support these heroes. In addition, we're honoring local hometown heroes in our stores nationwide and offering all hometown heroes everyday savings and exclusive benefits through our Neighbors Club.
To learn more about the Hometown Heroes program, go to tractorsupply.com/hometownheroes.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you,
I'm a quadriplegic. I am definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And this is our last guest for this hour. And I always like to thank everyone at the Main Street Radio Network, Jane and Alan and James and Derek and, of course, Joseph. It takes all those people to make this show happen, and we appreciate it. I'm proud to be on the team. Well, we're glad to have with us, and this is a little bit of a gear shift here, and it's a welcome one, founder of SAVE. He's a former faculty member of three universities and former federal regulator at the Department of Health and Human Services. He's also authored over 100 peer-reviewed articles and editorials. Dr. Edward Bartlett joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Dr. Bartlett. Good to have you.
Hi, Karen. Good to talk with you again.
Good, good. Well, this is a topic, and I know we have spoken about it before, but we have a changing audience. Something that is a pet interest of mine, and that is the bias and bigotry against men. Well, in a lot of ways, especially as the left has taken over and tried to confuse people about their gender, they still have biases against men and masculinity, and it's easy for many of us to think that men are always the perpetrators and women are always the victims, particularly in domestic violence situations. And it's a myth. It isn't even true. People don't like to talk about it, but you're here to talk about it. So tell us some of the more persuasive things that many of us don't know.
Well, first of all, Karen, it's great to chat with you again. And it's important we understand where this all of these myths come from. It comes from cultural Marxism. Everybody's heard the phrase cultural Marxism,
yes.
But maybe they don't know what that really means. Well, it means, first of all, families are oppressive to women, and those are actually the exact words of Karl Marx. Second, that children are considered wards of the state. They really don't belong to their parents. They are wards of the state. And the third piece of cultural Marxism is that truth is a patriarchal construct, which means that there really is no such thing as truth. So that's sort of where all of this craziness comes from. So let me tell you about an incident that occurred that was reported in the news just last week. This was in Dallas, Texas, in one of the malls in Dallas. And the news report notes, quote, a woman is accused of fatally shooting a man who had a restraining order against her inside of a Dallas mall. So, again, this was just reported last week. What does this all add up to? Well, it adds up to the Centers for Disease Control. They actually do a survey. It's called the NISVS. It turns, according to the NISVS, each year, and write this down if you want to, each year there are 6.5 million male victims of physical domestic violence compared to 5.6 female victims of domestic violence. In other words, it's about 1 million more male victims than female victims of domestic violence. So, yeah, we've talked about truth, and look at the actual numbers. They're kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah. Well, and it because we've been living with this cultural Marxism for a long while now, we've seen the bigotry and hatred towards men, and many people, including myself, have made the connection that cultural and other Marxists, and there are more of them now publicly running for office than ever, some of them even men, of course, that men who love America, want to protect their families, and are likely to be the ones who would fight in a war, that's an attempt to suppress masculinity. If a man doesn't know he's a man and he's pretending to wear a dress, he's like Klinger and MASH, he's a lot less of a threat. Klinger was a lot less of a threat than the people on the front lines fighting the war. And cultural and other Marxists seem to know that. So it really is an attack from within. But a lot of everyday Americans have fallen for it. My husband and I like to watch various police videos. And we notice that even police will be kinder to a woman who's accused of domestic violence than a man, because they're more readily willing to believe that the man, when both are telling a story and it's a he said, she said, before they really know, they will suspect the male more likely. Isn't that true?
Well, it's very true. And we know it actually from well-done research that shows that if a man and a woman commit the identical crime, that the man is more likely to be arrested, to be charged, to be convicted, and to be imprisoned. That's well-done research by more than one person. So, you know, why do we have this bias? Well, you know, at the root is cultural Marxism, but more superficially, it's chivalry. Chivalry is a very powerful force throughout human history. But somehow the cultural Marxism never wants to even admit the existence of chivalry.
Well, and as a woman who was coming of age in an earlier time, women were taught that not only a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle, but women should want beta males, and that alpha males are aggressive and violent. So you should want a man that acts like a woman. That was taught to a whole generation of women. And while it is true, angry men can be very violent, to smear all men as toxic is likely only to make them angrier. Isn't it interesting? The left always says that. It'll only make them angry to set boundaries. But it doesn't make them angrier if you say, oh, all men are toxic, right?
Yeah, that's the narrative keeps getting more and more bizarre as we go along.
Yeah,
again,
and we're putting an end to it. Sorry, but we have to leave it there. Dr. Edward Bartlett, how do people find you at Save?
Yes. SaveServices.org.
Okay.
SaveServices.org.
Fascinating topic. I always love having you on. Thanks for joining us. Well, that does it for this edition of The Alan Nathan Show. Tune in every weekday for The Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Good afternoon.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.